Welcome to this edition of We Are GCI. Today, my guest is Dan Zachariah, the superintendent for Asia. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Greg. What a pleasure it is to be here with you.
From all the way on the other side of the world, Dan, you've come a long way. So thank you for joining us. We've been together for meetings this week. How have they been going for you, Dan, the superintendent meetings?
Oh, they have been very, very helpful, especially the camaraderie that I can experience with the others. And of course, the learning and the shared experience of seeing how they're doing things. And it's a tremendous learning experience for me.
Yes, we really do have a community of practice of how we share and we're moving together. Every region has its challenges and every region has its opportunities too. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. But before we get into talking about your region, I wanted to have you give a little background. You and Mary, your wife, you guys have traveled and journeyed in ministry for quite a while together. Give us a little background.
Yes, indeed. It was back in 1988 when we completed with Ambassador College. We were asked to go back to India, and we went to the southern city of Chennai, where we planted a church. We were there taking care of a circuit of three churches. And then we were asked to move to look after the church office. And we were actually supposed to go to the city of Mumbai, but couldn't afford the rents there. And we moved down to Hyderabad with the office. And so we relocated.
And you've been in Hyderabad since?
We've been in Hyderabad since. We planted a church there because there was no church. And thankfully today it is a thriving church.
Very good. Very good. Because, you know, we still in other regions around the world, we aspire to be better at church planting. In some ways across Asia, there's been a lot of church planting going on over the history of the church in Asia.
Yes. Yes. In fact, the recent presence of GCI in three nations, that is Bangladesh, Nepal, and Myanmar, has been very encouraging, and to see that the churches have a sense of direction and are moving forward.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes, we're all about that. We want to see the gospel spread. And I don't know if everybody understands this, but in a lot of ways, for new disciples to be made, the planting of new churches is very important in that happening, because we're not just individual missionaries trying to, you know, to reach a village of people. We do better when we're a team of church planters and establishing a church. Has that been your experience?
Oh, yes. Undoubtedly that the whole team-based approach has been tremendously beneficial and helpful. We are able to tap into one another's strengths and giftings and resources. And that has lent us some impetus to be able to bring a sense of health into these, the plants that we've had.
Excellent, excellent. And I know one of the things that I've observed, and even working with Eugene Gazan, you know, beforehand, you replaced him as superintendent just a couple of years ago, but I noticed the connections, like you mentioned in Bangladesh and you mentioned in Nepal, the ones who are the church planters there, pastoring the churches there, they had a connection first through the school back in the Philippines and developed relationships with GCI there, and then they went out to plant. That how does that relationship flow, you know, from that Filipino connection?
Yes, I think that was very helpful, especially the leaders from Bangladesh and Nepal, to be able to connect with GCI in the Philippines.
Yes.
And they could get a sense of who we are and what we are. And immediately they signed up and they said, well, we want to be part of GCI.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, it was almost their time in was not only the education they got in the Philippines, it was an orientation, wasn't it?
Yes. I think they began to realize that we operate slightly differently from many other denominations. And they were happy to sort of, you know, and comfortable to work with us and keep walking with us.
Right. And you now, as the superintendent, have picked up that relationship with them. What has that relationship been looking like?
It has been helpful in the sense that we've had the relationship in the past, but now that they have come to understand what GCI is all about, it has been helpful for me to walk them through and get them a little bit more acclimatized to a typical GCI culture. Mm-hmm. And I think they are beginning to come on board,
yes,
becoming comfortable and beginning to see the benefits of right. being part of our denomination.
Kind of the new GCI.
The new GCI.
No, I think that's marvelous. And I know in your own home country that you've done a lot of work too, and you're trying to invest in the next generation. What does that look like in India?
Yes, the need for investing in the next generation is undoubtedly, becoming very clear now. We have aging congregations, and more and more, we are beginning to see the need for investing in especially the youth. And so in India particularly, and even in the Philippines, we are tailoring various programs, typically for the young people, to bring them on board. Looking at programs like, neighborhood camps, seminars for young people, especially mm-hmm. with the challenges they are facing today in terms of the pressures and the challenges of life.
Yes.
And so we are trying to bring some sense of direction for them mm-hmm. through the expertise that God has granted us in the denomination.
Excellent. Excellent. I really appreciate you and even the other superintendents having a heart for the next generation too. We need them. This is their church now. It's not like, hey, come along and maybe you'll like us, but you can participate now. And I think just the fact that you run alongside them, that's a beautiful way to do it. I like to say that as life on life ministry. It's not just have them go read a book and make an academic exercise out of it. So I appreciate you coming alongside and having the relationship in that way. So in the Philippines, that's where we have, in your region, that's where we have the Ministry Training Center. Talk a little bit about life in the Philippines for us.
Yes, the Philippines is a nation where they have many, many challenges. Young people are now growing up to find jobs and things of that nature. Education is a big thing for them, and they want to be educated. The young, especially in the Philippines, are looking for, a church, a home church. And so there is a movement where we are able to tap into mm-hmm. these needs that mm-hmm. young people have. And mm-hmm. so, and the MTC that you mentioned, I think, have received a fair bit of overwhelming response mm-hmm. where people have signed up
yes.
and they want to invest their lives in this training and be part of a vibrant church.
Yes.
And so we're very happy to see that taking place. And we've got some very competent leaders mm-hmm. Who are young themselves in one sense
right.
and are able to connect with these young people.
Right, right. The ministry team in the Philippines is a really good mix of leaders. Audie Santibanez is the national director now. Been doing this for a little over about a year and a half now, I think.
Yes, Audie has come on board as the national director, and he's got a very good team with Aaron and Rex, and of course Eugene continues to provide
yes.
his long received experience.
Right.
And it has been a pleasure working with the team there in the Philippines.
Yes, yes. No, they do a wonderful job. And I'm glad, too, that that Audie is able to focus right there with the ministry in the Philippines and not have to be spread out all over Asia for right now to help them as they start their MTC. They're still in their first year and a half as well. So it's just getting started, but seems to be very vibrant.
Yes, like I said, Audie is extremely competent in terms of understanding the pulse there in mm-hmm. the Philippines. But I do tap his competence and his knowledge to help me with the rest of Asia.
Yes.
And he has really, you know, shined there and come along very well.
Right. So you have... you have your own community of practice, in a sense, the people who work with you doing regional work, Audie being in that as well. Who else is on that team, and how does that team work?
Yes, the community of practice has been a real blessing for mm-hmm. especially the team-based ministry that we have adopted. And Audie is one of them, Aaron along with him from the Philippines. Then I have Devaraj, Pastor Devaraj Ramu from Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And so that gives me a good mix of leaders mm-hmm. who can provide the help and the expertise that is required to help these areas, right. Blossom.
Right. And each of them have different gifts and experience that they bring to the team.
Absolutely. Yes. Especially with the works they have done in the past. Devaraj having been a teacher, he brings a rich experience in terms of understanding teaching and training.
Yes. Yes. Well, and what we see there, because we encourage our pastors to be team-based and pastor-led, but this is beautiful too, because as a superintendent, you really are team-based, superintendent-led as well.
Absolutely. Like I said, the team-based approach has taken away the pressure of having to sort of think it all yourself,
Yes.
And it has helped so much to bring in perspectives which one would never have mm-hmm. From where I would come. And so we have a tremendous amount of the expertise from various people in the region.
Yes, and I know we've emphasized and we've tried to encourage all superintendents to think about on that team that you have someone who is specifically thinking about development of leaders, development of just how we approach ministry. Because as a superintendent, so often you're doing management and supervising, and that plate gets full. So I think you have Audie. Is he your development person on that team?
Exactly. Audie was, when I introduced the whole development concept, he was very quick to sign up and said that there's something more that was on his heart.
Yes.
And he signed up to help us in the region. And the entire concept of development needed focused attention, because
yes.
Some of the congregations were moving into not only a maintenance mode, but a decline mode.
Yes.
And there was a need for us to talk about development, and I think it's come at the right time.
Excellent, excellent. So that even builds out the team, gives more intentionality of what you're doing, and it really ties into our philosophy of the sense of high support. And when high support is brought, by nature, there's some challenge that comes with that. It's a high challenge, but as being a Christian organization that we are and really reflecting who Christ is, it has to be grace always.
Yes.
And so is that what you're experiencing and how your team is working and how you're bringing services to your region?
Yes, I think... people are ready to embrace the high challenge, but then unless you bring in the grace with it, it can become a bit too daunting for them.
Yes.
And discouraging sometimes if you don't give them the kind of encouragement that comes by being grace-oriented.
Yes.
And I'm beginning to see there is so much need for that sense of grace to flow
yes.
Everywhere.
Well, and I think it finds expression too, and you may have something to add to this, but I think it finds expression in the sense that, you're bringing new ideas, new concepts, but you're not just leaving it there and say, go and do it. You're staying in the relationship through periodic meetings and reading reports and having more conversations and letting it take the time that it has to take. You're not trying to rush things.
Very much. One can really not rush things. But the need to walk alongside every one of them that are being given high challenges is so essential, and that is something that I recognize on how the Holy Spirit works with us. He comes alongside us.
Yes.
And He is constantly, certainly leading us, but He is constantly nudging us, prompting us. Mm-hmm. And I feel that model is very essential for us as leaders to continuously be available.
Yes.
And constantly be by their side as they walk into sometimes unknown areas.
Right. They have to know that we're for them, don't they?
Absolutely, yes.
We're not being domineering. We're not trying to ask them to do the impossible. But we are bringing some challenge because, you know, anytime you try new things and, you know, even going from how we were more pastor-centric to now being team-based and pastor-led, that's a big change for some of our longtime pastors.
Yes, that has been a challenge that I have faced personally, from moving into, you know, from, let's say, a dominator type you know, model to help people and liberate them so that they can bring in their strengths and giftings and not have to be looked over over their shoulders all the time.
Yes.
I think that has been a challenge to move from the dominator model into a more liberating model. For some, it's like in the Asian region, many times they like to be told and on how to do things, but then you have to keep moving in them and give them the encouragement that, yes, they can do it.
Yes, right, to move to the empowerment, right. Well, that's very good. I was thinking how sometimes when challenge comes, it feels domineering because it can be difficult doing things that you've not done before. But I think because of that relational side of it and coming alongside, like you say, and I'm for you, I'm praying for you, I'm here for you to support you, that's the grace package, isn't it?
Yes. Each one of them knowing that there is someone that they can fall back on, that they can pick up the phone and call, and for them to know that they have support,
yes,
is very liberating in one sense and very empowering.
It truly is. I've seen not just, you know, some of, I've been in your region. I've visited there, you know, periodically over the last 7-8 years. So I've been able to see some things on the ground. And I know I have an invitation to come to Hyderabad. I've not not picked up on that just yet, but maybe, and maybe one day. But I've seen, like I say, across the regions, I've seen at times, instead of being team-based pastor-led, we've moved to like pastor-led, team-supported. And there's a nuance in that.
Yes, I think that's where I suppose the pastor as a leader needs to help that dynamic to change you know, a little bit, where it is team-based first and foremost.
Yes.
While there is a need for a sense of leading.
Yes.
And so the pastor-led model should be encouraged with the team base. So I think that dynamic is a tremendous, you know, synergetic combination, I would say.
Well, I think so. And the part of getting to flip that from being pastor-led and team-supported to being actually team-based and then pastor-led means you have to trust, because it implies there's going to be empowerment. But I know in some of your experience, you've empowered, and some people have maybe not always taken that and acted responsibly with that. And you've had experiences where, you know, it didn't work out quite so well. How do you work through that when you're empowering and then they go off into, you know, whatever direction they go into, and then you're kind of coming back and starting over again? How's that work?
Yes, that is one of the challenges I faced in leadership. You know, you learn to trust, you provide trust, you ask for people to trust you. But sometimes there are some relational issues that can come in to come into play, and that can impinge on the trust that has, you know, has flourished all this while, and that can dent the trust a bit, and that is not helpful at all.
Right.
And I'm always encouraging our leaders to talk, to come back. Let's discuss. You know,
yes.
We are team based, and
yes.
Don't take, you know, don't conclude things too soon. Come back and let's have a discussion, because the Holy Spirit will help us work through all of these things.
Right.
Trying my very best to rebuild and regain back the trust that is required, because team-based just doesn't work without the trust.
Well, exactly. And you don't ever want to burn bridges, as they say. You know, you want to always keep the bridge, you know, available. But I think anybody who's been in leadership for any time, there is that difficult time where even as you've invested, that some people don't always quite work out the way you thought they might work out. But that shouldn't deter you from like, well, I'm not going to do that again. You have to keep investing, don't you?
Yes, I think I'm always encouraged by what Jesus says, you know, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I bring that into the leadership that, you know, I have the opportunity of showcasing, and just to let everybody know, we might have challenges or difficulties, mm-hmm. but we never close the door on each other.
Right.
We keep the doors open, and I am constantly telling them, hey, I am with you. We might struggle through a period of time, but let's not give up on each other.
That's
so we
right.
never leave or forsake one another.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Well, this has been great, Dan. I do want to make sure we are able to convey to our listening audience, too, of what in your region, the Asian region, what are some things that they could be in prayer for you about in terms of even some of the challenges you may face or some of the aspirational things that you have in mind, too?
Even though Christianity is being respected very much in the Asian region, mm-hmm. There are people's hearts being opened up mm-hmm. towards Christ and His teachings, and people are recognizing Christ more than just a teacher. But there are also tremendous amount of restrictions that are being put in many of the Asian countries in terms of bringing the message of Jesus to the people who are wanting it. And so we are having to pull back sometimes and be very careful mm-hmm. that we don't violate various laws that are being, you know, put across. And with those laws come also societal attitudes towards yes. the Christian faith. And so that is one thing that we need the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance and the wisdom
right.
to be able to negotiate and to keep moving forward and not to be discouraged by it.
Right.
Even though there are not as many open doors, but we do know that the Holy Spirit will walk with us and see that the gospel goes forward.
Yes.
That is one of the challenges we face in the Asian region. Another one is we do want to let society know that the great commandment that Jesus Christ gave, the new commandment, I should say, and he says, love one another. Mm-hmm. And so we want the world to know that is a kingdom culture
yes.
that we need to have
yes.
Amongst us so that we are able to be a true witness for
yes.
Christ our Lord by having the love for one another and making sure our relationship are harmonious.
Exactly, exactly. Well, that speaks to the mission of GCI, doesn't it? To live and share the gospel.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, you know, if you're not living it, your testimony is not a good testimony. You have to first live it before you can really, you know, represent Christ and share that in a way that's meaningful. So I hope all of our churches hearing this, because this is really music to my ears. This is what we want for our church in your region and all the regions around the world. Well, Dan, if you don't mind, we've asked our audience to consider what to keep our Asian region in prayer, to keep you in prayer and your team around you in prayer. But if you don't mind, could you just pray for your region here as we wrap up our time together?
Certainly.
All right, let's pray together.
Our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can come into your presence, even as we've had this conversation, bringing a sense of sharpness to what we've been doing in Asia. Thank you so much for investing so much of your love and your presence and your direction in Asia. We need your blessings upon our leadership in the 8 countries that GCI has a presence. We need you to continue to lead us, especially in the challenging situations where sometimes we see closed doors or uphill tasks. And most of all, gracious Lord, help us to recognize and continue to invest your love so that that love is constantly and continuously poured out into our congregations and through our congregations into the larger community so that they are blessed with the love you have given to us. We thank you that you continue to lead us and guide us, and we look forward to that as we move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, thank you, Dan. This has been lovely. You've been watching We Are GCI, and again, continue to pray for our region in Asia.